How are you guys? A little more awake? Doing a little better? Hey, Nate, you want to hit the lights? Oh, they're coming on. He already did. Sweet. So, Kevin is out of town. He should be getting back this week. He'll be here Wednesday. But in the meantime, I'm here. So if you guys want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 6, we're going to finish up the rest of it. And while you guys are doing that, let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you've brought us all here, Lord. Lord, we know that you have each one of us here for a reason and a purpose, God. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, show us the areas that we need to improve, God. And Lord, I pray that we just enjoy this time in your word, that you'd speak through me, God, and that we just have an awesome time. Amen. So some of you guys were here last week, and you remember how we talked about Paul and all the trials he went through and just how he got through his trials and how he was faithful to God through all the problems and God was faithful in return and got Paul through all his troubles and his trials and all his work that he was trying to do for the Corinthian church. But I was thinking about it, and how many of you guys have a pretty messy room? It's like your room is a mess. Come on, be honest. There's more of you. Raise those hands up in the air. I'm raising my hand. My room is dirty. I'll be honest. You know, sometimes it's clean, and when it is clean, it starts off with me just like, you know, kicking my shoes off or like changing and throwing my clothes on the floor. And then, you know, you guys know how it goes. Then it just starts building up. Like, then the floor becomes the hamper. Come on, some of you guys do that. So sometimes our rooms become real messy and dirty, and just that one act of throwing that shirt on the floor can spark this whole mess in our room. And soon enough, our room is a pigsty. It's a mess. Our mom's getting on us to clean it. Clean your room! And you're like, all right, I'll clean it. I'll do it later. Let me go hang out. But in the same way with our souls, sometimes our souls can get just messy and clogged up, and we can't see what God wants for us clearly. Maybe it's just that one time, that one temptation, or just that one time where you really avoid being a Christian, or your Christian values, you just forget them, and you end up with your soul just becoming this messy pigsty. You don't know what's going on. You're not sure what God has for you because your soul is just, you're just a mess. Your soul's a mess. And so it comes time for cleaning. And you have to clean it. And today we're going to look at the Corinthians. They'd kind of gotten themselves into a mess, listening to false teachers that they shouldn't have been. And so they kind of got things messed up. But we're going to look at what got them messed up and how to get out of that and ways to avoid getting messed up like they did. So if you guys want to, you guys already turned to 2 Corinthians 6. Let's look at verse 11 through 13. Let me get my Bible there. I'm not even opened up. So we'll just give you guys an extra chance to get there. So like I said, we'll look at verses 11 through 13. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak to you as children. You also be open. Now, this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. The Corinthians, he just told them all that he went through for them to increase them and help them grow closer to God. But they had been listening to these false teachers who are saying, dude, Paul's crazy, trying to discredit Paul and all the stuff he had done. And so the Corinthians were kind of going for it. They were hanging out with the wrong crowd, and then ended up getting persuaded, thinking that Paul was not doing anything good for him. But Paul's like, I've opened up to you guys. I've laid all the cards out on the table. This is me. This is my heart for you. And so he's done this, and now the Corinthians are unsure, and he's just saying, guys, I've opened up to you. Open up to me. Listen to what I have to say. And so, the Corinthians, it says they were restricted by their own affections. So for some of us, maybe that's like a guitar or instrument or sports that's holding us back from that true relationship with God that's distracting us from what our focus should be. Like the Corinthians, they were distracted by these other guys telling them that Paul wasn't legit. So maybe for some of you guys, it's like guitar or an instrument. You guys just like to rock out. Music is awesome, and you're doing good at music. You're progressing. This is your focus. You're focused on music. You're distracted by it. Maybe for some of you guys are like awesome basketball players or awesome football players or volleyball ladies, and or even basketball. Some of you guys, that's like your focus. This is new school year. I want to make the good team, like the A team. I want to be awesome at basketball. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to get good. Maybe for some of you guys, it's gaming. You're like, I love gaming. That guy likes gaming right there. Maybe you guys like the Wii, the Xbox 360. Some of you guys, gaming is your deal. You rock at gaming. Gaming's awesome. So for some of you guys, it's gaming. But the question is this distracting you from what God has for you? What God wants you to do? And then gaming's just this thing that's kind of swept in and pushed out what God wants you to do, and so gaming's it, volleyball's it, basketball's it, or whatever. And so, like the Corinthians, is this restraining you from going deeper in your relationship with God? Is this holding you back from what God has for you? Something to think about, because this is what got the Corinthians messed up. They were distracted. They were restricted by their own affections because of what they were so focused on. On sport, or not sports, but what these guys were saying, they became distracted and couldn't really focus on God and couldn't go deeper with God. They couldn't have that sincere relationship with God because there was other stuff in their life. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 14 through 16. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So people generally think of this verse, do not be unequally yoked, as like this married person verse. What it comes from, back in the day, you know, they get two oxen, and they'd hook them up together with this wooden thing, and they'd connect them, so their necks would be connected through this wooden thing. Then they'd plow the fields with them, or would do whatever they needed to do, pull carts or whatever. And so they would hook them up, but if they did like an ox and a donkey, it didn't always work out right. They were unequal, right? And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they were told not to do it because with a donkey, because it was a lower form of an animal that it was considered like, ugh, you know, it wasn't a cool animal for them. And so, in the same way, this verse is saying, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So I need a volunteer. Someone willing to help me out? Right there in the glasses. So I got a rope here, and you're gonna be an ox, okay? So can you try to flip that over your head? Okay, so you hold this, and here's what I need you to do, all right? You know, plow the fields. So what I need you to do is walk to that wall and walk back. Just do it. Trust you can do it. There he goes. He's walking, making sure everyone makes sure he walks good. It's going good. He made it. Now he's coming back. Looking good. It's a good ox. Sorry, bro. I didn't mean to call you an ox, man. I'm sorry. All right, so he did that, and I need another volunteer now. Oh, you guys want to help out, huh? This guy right here. Okay, so I need you to step down right here. Give me the other half of the yoke, because that's what the wooden thing was called. It's called a yoke. So what I need you to do is go ahead and sit down right there. So I'm going to throw this around you. Tie you up. Don't worry, I won't go too tight. Okay. Go ahead and walk to the wall now. But not you, because you're stuck there. You're sitting, you're doing what you want to do. Oh, you can't go. He's not able to do it. So, thanks, guys. Go ahead and take that off. Go ahead and pop that off. So, in the same way, if we're unequally yoked with an unbeliever, if maybe for some of you guys it's just friends, but a lot of people usually talk about marriage, people getting married. But for us, we can look at friends. Is there friends in your lives that are unbelievers that you're really connected to? They're like your best friend or whatever, and they're kind of holding you back from what God wants you to do. They're content where they are sitting, you know? You're maybe wanting to go plow the fields and do work for God, but they're content right here sitting down. They don't know what's wrong. They're just doing their thing, right? Nothing's wrong with their soul. They're content. Everything's going good. So they don't see anything wrong with them, with themselves. Everything's good. But for you, you see how great God is and what he's done, and you want to do things for him. But if you're connected with these people, you're not going to be able to do what God has for you. Because they're interested in themselves. They're selfish. They want everything to do for them. But you're concerned about glorifying God. As a believer, you want to do the great things for God. God has a plan for you. And you want to be a part of that. You want to do that. But if you're unequally yoked or bound to a person, a friend or friends, they're influencing you. And you're not going to be able to go where God wants you to go if you're tied down to those people. He goes on to say, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? So, the definition of fellowship is a friendly association, especially with people who share one's interest or a group of people meeting to pursue a shared interest or aim. So, how can you have fellowship with an unbeliever if fellowship is defined as pursuing the same interests? Or you have a shared interest, a shared goal, and you want to go for it. But for you, as a believer, our desire is to glorify God and do his will, right? But as an unbeliever, they're content where they are. They don't see any need to change. They're fine. So you can't have fellowship with them. He says righteousness and lawlessness don't share the same interests, right? But what communion has light with dark? Here's the definition of communion: the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is mental or spiritual. So if you're a believer and they're a non-believer, how can you guys have communion with each other and focus on godly things? You can't, right? You can't have communion because you can't mesh together. You can't focus on what God has for you. I need another volunteer. Right there. So, here we go. I have this jug of water. And it's just water, normal water. Nothing special about it. Go ahead and step back here, Kent. So I'm going to open that up. We're going to be represented by the water. The believers. The Christians. And this is oil. And we're going to use this to represent unbelievers. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pour this oil into here. You see, it doesn't go all the way down. It doesn't mix. It just kind of sits on top, right? Let me pour a little more in. Some of you guys can see. I'll hold it up for you in a minute, all right? So I'm pouring the oil in. And now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this lid back on. Get it on real tight. Now I'm going to ask Kent to shake that for me. Shake it, dude. Actually, shake it some more. Shake it some more. Yeah, go ahead and shake it some more. All right. Okay, so it seems mixed right now, but we'll give it a second. I'll set it down here, and you'll start to see all that oil is going to come back up to the top. The water will remain a little murky, but we'll see all that water come back up, or all the oil come back up. So it's saying what communion has light with dark, right? As believers, we aren't going to be able to mix with unbelievers. Because it doesn't work, right? Because we want to see God glorified and do God's will, but they're not really interested in what God has for us. You can go ahead and take a seat, Kent. But you see all the oil came back up to the top. The water remains a little murky, but we'll pretend it's clear, all right? Don't tell anyone. So there's all the oil. So it doesn't mix, right? The oil wouldn't mix with the water. So as believers, it just doesn't work for us to mix with unbelievers. I'm not saying if you have unbelieving friends, ditch them, run from them. But we need to be a light to them, right? We need to make sure they have the same hope that we do. If we can share the gospel with them, and maybe they can become believers too. Let me get a drink here. Ah, refreshing. So this passage always mentions, also mentions that our body is a temple of God. Listen to this verse out of 1 Corinthians 6. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, living within us. And this doesn't mean, this means both physically and spiritually, we have the Spirit of God. He sees whatever you see. He hears what you hear. He sees what you do. He's always watching us and he's always with us. Let's go ahead and look at 2 Corinthians 6, 8, 16 through 18. "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." I think it's so cool in these verses that God's chosen to call us his sons and his daughters. That he dwells, the living God who created the whole universe lives in me. Isn't that cool? Think about it. He lives in you. If you're a believer, he lives in you. The God who created the universe lives in you, and he loves you. He calls you his sons and his daughters. He says, come out from among them and be separate. He calls us to be separate from unbelievers. Not to have fellowship or communion because it doesn't work. We can't do it. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. He doesn't want us to touch what's unclean and because he has a plan for you. God's got great plans for your lives. You may not know it. You may be confused and lost right now. But God has a plan for your life. From the moment you were born, God's been watching you. And he's always had a plan for your life. He says he'll be a father to us. Have you guys ever thought about how much your parents love you? They love you so much. I know my mom loves me. Your parents take pride in you and what you do and your hobbies and things you do when you accomplish something. Your parents take pride in that. They love you. And he goes on to say, I'll be a father to you. So this is God saying, I'll be a father to you. Come to me and I'll be a father to you. You know your parents are proud and love you? Imagine God loving you a billion times more than your parents. That's how much he loves you. You can't even comprehend how much God loves us. So here's a question. Is there something holding you back from having a right relationship with God and glorifying him in your life through your actions or just at school? I know with this school year coming up, some of you guys already started school. But is there friends at school that might be holding you back from having that right relationship with God? How are you gonna handle that when you go back to school, right? What do you need to do? How can you stand up and be a light at school to these unbelieving friends? Because like we said, we can't be unequally yoked. It just doesn't work, right? But we can be a light to them, right? God has big plans for you guys, but will you let him reign completely in your life? Will you give it over to him completely? Some of you guys may have prayed the prayer to ask Christ into your heart, but have you really lived it out and given him your life completely? Some of you are, but some of you aren't. So here's the thing. How can you let God reign more completely in your life? I'm going to read this same passage out of a different version. It's called The Message. Let me flip there real quick. It puts it in a cool way of thinking about this whole passage. He says, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Do not become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not a partnership. That's war. Is light best friends with dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? Who would think of setting up pagan idols in God's holy temple? But that is exactly what we are. Each of us is a temple in whom God lives. God himself put it this way. I'll live in them, move into them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. So leave corruption and compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who pollute you and want you all. I want you all for myself. I'll be your father. I'll be a father to you. You'll be sons and daughters to me. The word of the Master God. I like what it says. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Now, maybe that is some of you. You know, your lives aren't small. God's got a plan for you. But are you living them in a small way, not allowing God to work completely in you? So, as we close up today, if you need to talk to a leader or pray with a leader about how you can go back to school or go back to those friends and be a light to them and show them the way, and so you're not unequally yoked, it may be hard to do. It's going to be a hard thing. God doesn't call us to do easy things all the time. But as a believer, it's our job to be a light to others so they can see and have a hope like we have. Let's close in prayer. God, I thank you so much for bringing us here today, God. Lord, I pray that as we go home and go to our friends at school, and Lord, we have a lot of things in front of us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be a light. Lord, that we'd be a light to those friends who don't know you. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be unequally yoked, God, because we see that it just doesn't work, and we end up getting sucked into things that you never intended for us, God. Our souls become a mess, God, when we're unequally yoked. Lord, we know that you have a plan for us. God, I pray that you'd help us to remain faithful to what you've called us to do and what you want us to do, God. Lord, help us be a light to our friends. Amen.